I thank God for the blood, don't you? Praise the Lord. I've always felt so small and so insignificant. I think many times on why He would come and say a wretch just like me, somebody that really don't mean anything, that don't make a hill of beans, just little old me. And yet He loved me. And He sent His own precious Son, the Prince of Glory, to die in my place. And I praise Him for that. Have your Bible this morning. I want you to turn with me to the book of 2 Kings chapter 5. I believe in being obedient. I hope you do. I believe in being obedient. And the Lord's laid something on my heart this morning. There's a good crowd here, and I really want you to stay. The Lord's laid a song on my heart that I've got to sing. I'm no singer, and I know that. In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling, to the harvest calling you. Little is much when God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it, if you go in Jesus' name. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and He'll not forget His own. Little is much when God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it, if you go in Jesus' name. When the conflict here is ended, and our race on earth is run, He will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much if God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it, if you go in Jesus' name. I'd like to ask you to stand this morning as we read some scripture out of 2 Kings chapter number 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Here this great noble man is, but he's got all these riches, this great position, honorable man, but he's a leper. And leprosy also represents sin in the Word of God. So no matter how great, no matter how honorable, no matter what his position, no matter what his bank account and his status said that he was a sinner. I do remind you that the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 2 says, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. In other words, this little girl is a Jewish little girl, and she has been made a slave or a servant in the home of this rich, wealthy, well-positioned man named Naaman. And she's a servant there. You might say that she's being held against her will, maybe taken away from her mama and her daddy. And yet she goes there to serve in the house of this great man. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go.
And I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. The king of Israel said, I don't know what I can do about it. I can't heal a man. What am I going to do? Verse 8, And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand and call the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. You see, this great, influential, powerful man was amazed that Elisha, the man of God, didn't even come out to see him personally, but sent a messenger out there. And then he told him to go and wash in that old dirty Jordan River. And he could not believe that he would have such a plan. And he's upset about it. He says in verse 12, Are not Arbana and Parfar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He was clean because he followed God's way. And there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. To be saved, you've got to follow God's plan. That is, you must come by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You must believe in His death on the cross for our sins, in His burial, and on the third day in His resurrection. This morning, I want to preach on this thought, lifting out verse number 2 from this chapter. This great man of God named Elisha, that was able by the power of God to tell this man what to do that he might be healed. And this man, this leper, this sinner man, how did he get to the man of God? How did he even hear the message that there's a way that he can be made clean? It was by the testimony, the Bible says in verse number 2, of a little maid, a little slave girl that was held captive against her will. Rather than having the pooch lip and pouting and being mad and complaining about her lot and her circumstances and her situation, she just served the Lord happily in the home of her captors. And when the moment came, she gave a simple testimony about our God. This morning I want to preach on this thought, with God being our helper. Little is much when God is in it. This little girl, so insignificant, made a world of difference in this man's life. And she had just a few words to say. One little testimony. Before I pray, I feel so insignificant. I don't know why God would even save me, call me to preach, and let me stand before you dear people today. I have really no idea. I'm honored that He'd do so. But there might be somebody in this building today, and you may look around and say, what am I amongst so many? And could my little testimony make a difference? And preacher, I seem so insignificant. I really don't have anything to offer. I say to you today, little is much when God is in it. Father, this morning as we bow our head before You, Lord, we ask You that You'd empower us of the Holy Spirit of God to preach in the power and the demonstration of the Spirit. And I pray, God, You'd take our words, Father, and I pray, Father, that You give them the power that only You can give. Lord, I thank You for giving us a little thought and a little time to study the Word of God. And I pray, God, you'd help us today, Father, as we try to look into this portion of your word. And I pray today, God, that there'd be somebody here that'd receive help. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Little is much in this little maid's life. All she did was simply not withhold anything back and share what the Lord told her to share. This morning before Sunday school started, the superintendent gave us an opportunity to give testimonies and to be a witness for the Lord right here in the house of God. And many of you responded, and I praise the Lord for that. And the devil might have said to you, why, you just sit there and be quiet. What are you going to say that would bless anybody or encourage anybody? You just don't do a thing. But I'm glad, amen, some of you was willing to stand up and share your testimony. For it certainly encouraged my heart. I say, yea, even our hearts, for little is much when God is in it. I want to turn back to the book of Exodus just for a little bit this morning. The book of Exodus, chapter number 16, if you would turn there with me. The children of Israel were starving. They were so hungry. And they were complaining to the Lord about their position and their circumstances as they left the splendor and the worldliness of Egypt, and they've started following the Lord out amongst the desert and the wilderness, heading towards the promised land, and the people are starving. And in verse number 12 of Exodus chapter number 16, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that even the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. In the Hebrew language, the word manna means, what is it? That's what they're saying. What is it that's laying there on the ground? For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so and gathered, some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. Can you see them there as they're hungry? What are they going to do? I'm telling you what, the economy of that day and age was a whole lot worse than what you see today. What ABC News and NBC and CBS, CNN, Fox News, C-SPAN, and all them other channels are reporting. I'm telling you what, there was no way they had any economy in the wilderness or in the desert to sustain themselves. And when they began to cry out, Moses began to seek God's face, God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a miracle. I'm going to send quails down there for you to eat some flesh. And then in the morning when you get up, when the dew's gone off the ground, I'm going to send bread down there for the people. I mean, it's going to be manna, what the people called it. Can you imagine as they came out and they had to bow down just like this, like we do when we pray. They had to bow down to pick it up off the ground. It was the provision of God. And when they simply got down and picked up and gathered for their family and put it in their basket, when they went back to the house, he that had it much, that gathered more than what he needed, it wasted at the end of the day. And he that gathered little, the Bible says, he had just exactly enough for his daily bread and his daily provisions. Do you realize this morning, y'all, glory to God, little is much in the manna. God still feeds His people. God still wants to take care of you. You may say, well, Social Security don't look good. The stock market's down. Gas prices are going up. Hey, glory to God. Jesus said and taught us in the Word of God, little is much when it comes to Him. If we just trust Him, He said, I'll take what little you've got and I'll bless it. I'll be a providing for you and I'll be your supply. I want to say to somebody here this morning, you've been worried. You're on unemployment and things ain't looking good and you're trying to find a job and you've been looking everywhere. You're stressing and you're worried about what on earth am I going to do? Let me tell you what you're going to do. You just go to God and you give Him your little and you watch Him turn it into His much. Amen. God said for me to tell you, little is much when He's in it if you'd give it to Him this morning. You'd just get on your knees and humble yourself and say, God, I just want what You have for me. Hey, He said it'll be more than enough. I want to turn over here to 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 8. The word of the Lord came unto him saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. This is the man of God, Elijah. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Do you understand? It's not rained here for years and years and years. And he said, Would you fetch me some water to a stranger, to a widow woman? She didn't say, Bless God, get it yourself. She said, I'd be happy to. And as she gets ready to go get him the water, he said, Bring me a morsel of bread. To which she responds, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks. Just two. Not a cord of wood, not a truckload like y'all sell it or buy it. She said, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. In time of a famine, we find out that this little woman, when he told her, You go and make me a cake first, she didn't say, That don't make sense. This is my meal. I'll do with it what I want to. She said, I'll do what you've commanded me to do. And she went out and she baked the man of God a cake and baked herself and her son a cake. And I believe when she got that out of the oven there, she came to the man of God and she gave to him first. She went back to that oven, took out that other cake of bread and set it down there before her and her son, and they began to eat. They went to bed that night. You know she'd already had a plan that this would be the last meal they'd ever have. And she went to bed that night, heeding the man of God's words, being obedient to what God told her to do. In the morning she got up. And guess what? In the morning they were hungry, starving to death. While she went over there to the old meal barrel that she knew the night before was completely empty and had nothing left in it. I can see my little old granny even to this day over yonder in Spring Creek, North Carolina, getting up early in the morning and going over yonder to the old meal barrel and where the flare is and flipping that thing open and reaching down in there and scooping her some out. I can see that little old widow woman as she goes over to the meal barrel and she picks up the lid open and opens it up and it looks like there ain't nothing down in there. But by faith, she sticks her hand in anyway. And when she reaches right down there in the bottom, amen, why, there's just a handful that's still left. Enough to bake two more cakes with. And she says, Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm telling you what, you'll take it for granted today and go to the steakhouse or wherever you choose to eat. Maybe you'll pray or maybe you won't. And even if you do pray, sometimes you just go through it because you feel obligated to. It's not that you're really thankful for something to eat where people are starving to death, but this woman was hungry. And I'm telling you what, I believe she bowed her head before God and said, Thank you, Lord, for providing for me. And she went in there and began to roll and knead out that dough, and she began to put them little cakes in there, and she took the man of God his first, and she went and got hers before her and her son, and they sat down, hallelujah, and had meal time together after they prayed, and long about later on in the evening they got hungry again. There's a famine on. People starving to death all around them. CNN's interviewing people. Fox News is saying, man, it's no good. Obama can't help you. The government's ready to shut down. OPEC's got up on the prices. We don't know what on earth we're going to do. Wall Street's going to have to take the day off because all these stocks are in place because it's fallen. And that little widow woman goes back over to the meal barrel, throws the lid open by faith, reaches her hand way down in there, and woo, glory to God, he's done it again. And she goes back, starts kneading and working. And the Bible says that it stayed just like that until the Lord sent rain upon the earth. Hey, it didn't rain for 3 years. God provided for her for at least probably 2 years or so. Just like that. You may say, well, preacher, that sounds like the craziest thing I ever done. Let me say to you this morning, you that are struggling, you put God first in your life. Preacher, it don't make sense for me to tithe. Did it make sense for that woman to bake for the man of God first when all she had was one handful of meal and the barrel was empty? Did it make sense? Didn't make sense. But in faith, she went out and did that and praised God. When she come back later on that evening, supernaturally, divinely, there was another handful left. Let me say to somebody in this church this morning, you quit trying to figure it out, amen, and you just put Him first. My Bible still says if we would go to the Lord and seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. And He took care of her. All this, I'm telling you what, when people was a starving to death and they're interviewing everybody, glory to God, can you hear that little lady? And she's over there in her house shouting and praising God while she's not getting skinny and putrid looking. She's just as fancy as she ever was before. Why? Because God was taking care of His own. I can see old CNN News, they come knock at that house. How are things going here? Well, they're doing just fine, says that little boy. What's going on inside the house there? How come y'all ain't starving to death like everybody else? Well, I tell you, it's supernatural. It's divine. God's just been a blessing to us. In fact, we heard that you've even got a house guest here. The man of God's come and stayed around here. And yeah, God's providing for him too. It's just amazing. And about that time back in the background, woo, glory, hallelujah. Well, what's going on? Well, the Lord's just done it again. I'm telling you what, it's amazing how He blesses you and how He takes care of things, my friend. Hey, little is much in the meal barrel, hallelujah. Let me turn over. You may say, well, that's Old Testament scriptures. I don't like them Old Testament scriptures. You give me something New Testament, and I'll believe it. I got something just for you, sister. The book of John, chapter number 6, if you'd turn there with me. The book of John, chapter 6, verse number 2. There's a great multitude. Hey, little is much amongst the multitude. You realize that this morning? I come in this building today, and I look, seen a vast crowd, and I sit here, you know, I'm so little and insignificant, and I think, Lord, have mercy. How am I going to feed all them people? How am I going to encourage them? I don't know all their needs. I don't know what they're going through. Lord said, you just trust me, and you just get up and do your little, and I'll turn it into much for the multitude. And so that's just what I'm up here by faith to do. John chapter 6, a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain. There He sat with His disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? For this He said to prove Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto them, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they amongst so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. 5,000 men. Don't know how many women. Don't know how many children. I mean, if you figure 2 children, 2.1 children for every home, If they all had a wife, Lord, that's a crowd. And the only thing they've got to feed, they ain't taking up a love offering. The only thing they've got to feed them is just a few loaves and a few fishes. How's that going to work? Well, when that little boy took the loaves and the fishes, the little that he had, that little boy took what little that he had and put it in Jesus' hands. The Bible says Jesus took the loaves when he had given thanks and distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Guess what happened? God fed 5,000 men, all the women and all the children, till they were completely filled. And they took up 12 baskets full left over. Now the word basket there is the word coffinus, which reminds us of the word coffin, Brother Chris. You know how big, how long is a coffin? 6 feet. And how wide is it? 6 feet by 3 feet, 18 feet square, right? Is that right? That little boy took a few loaves and a few fishes, just what he had with him, and he came and gave it to Jesus. You figure 12 times 18, Brother Steve, at how many square feet they had left over out of that meal, and it fed 5,000 men. Probably some big old fat fellers in there, and some little old skinnians too, and some women and all them children, and they all got filled. Imagine how that happened. I want to say to you, Jesus said, little's much amongst the multitude. What little can I do, Brother Shane, to stand up here and try to preach to the people and try to encourage them? I don't know nothing. I'm just a podunk dummy. This little old country boy off out of Hooper's Creek, North Carolina. God said, you get up there and preach to them. I'll take the words, and I'm going to cause the words to stir there in their heart and encourage them, and I'll raise up a multitude, a mighty army. Hey, I remember old Ezekiel. He said over there, he said, Ezekiel, look there. He said, what do you see? He said, boy, I see a bunch of dry bones, just a valley full of dry bones. He said, I want you to prophesy to them. Preach to them. What? Preach to them. Well, what little can I do? I just begin to preach, and God began to move by His Spirit and stir them. And the Bible says they stood up and became a mighty army. I'm glad, glory to God, God still chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Hallelujah. Hey, the cross may be foolishness to you, and it may be foolishness to other people, but glory to God, to you and I that are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation, unto the Jew first and also to the Greek. Glory to God for that. Amen. Hey, he's still much amongst the multitude. You may get up some morning and say, "How? What am I going to teach my Sunday school class?" Hey, I got a suggestion. Just go to the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, and teach the Word of God and watch what He'll do with it. He said, my Word will go forth and accomplish that which is pleasing unto me, and it shall not return unto me void. Hallelujah for that. What about the book of Mark chapter 12? Book of Mark chapter 12. End of the chapter. The end of the chapter. Mark chapter 12. Bible says in verse 41, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. There was a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. Basically, she pretty much put in all she had. 2 mites. Insignificant. I'll be honest with you this week. Received a building fund. I believe that was last Sunday. And I looked at it, it was $600 some odd. And it had a little decimal point there and said, and 32 cents. I'll be honest, I appreciate the hundreds that y'all put in, but whoever put in them 32 cents, God bless you. Might have been an adult, might have been some little youngin', reaching way down in their pocket and said, I got 32 cents in my hand, and I want to give it to the house of God. I say to you, those 32 cents, amen, they sure are a blessing. I appreciate them times we look at the offering and see it's decimal point 01 or decimal point 32 or 57 or ever what that is. Praise God for these little children that run around here and they give what God tells them to give. God will bless that. My Bible says Jesus sat over against the treasury and they were watching what they gave and how they gave. And the Bible says that this certain poor widow threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury, for all they did cast in of their abundance. But she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. She threw it all in. Everything she had. She didn't have enough money to go buy a Happy Meal down there at the McDonald's. She didn't think, what am I going to do? How am I going to get through the week? She just said, I'm just going to trust Him. And she gave all that she had. Somehow He took care of her all week long. And I'm telling you what, church, this morning, the Lord looks and sees how people give. He knows just exactly how to bless you proportionally for what you give. He knows why you give. He knows whether you're cheating Him or whether you're not. He knows how you're trying to live your life, what you're trying to keep for yourself, what you're going to do with it, and whether you're real and you're wanting to give to His house. I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to take time to tell it. About that little girl that went up there to the church, and the church was small in size. She went to Sunday school as a visitor, and she went to a certain classroom, and it was filled up. They didn't have any more chairs. And the teacher turned the little girl away. She was dirty, not well kept up. Her hair was long and stringy and oily and greasy. She didn't smell like the rest of the children. And she got the door shut in her face and she came back out of the sanctuary. And the superintendent saw her sitting there and asked her and said that her class was full and she couldn't get in. And he didn't do a thing about it. If I ever find out either one of you two boys is our superintendent, pull a stunt like that, this whole congregation is going to chew you boys up. I promise you. But preacher come through and seen that little girl sitting there and said, Honey, what's wrong? She's crying. Shut out at the house of God. And she said, I can't get into Sunday school class because it's too full. And the superintendent came by, but he wouldn't help me. The preacher got her. He said, You come with me. You take me to your class. And they went to where she wanted to go to class. He knocked on the door and opened it. Sunday school teacher said, Well, Pastor, he said, You know, you've got a little student here that needs to be in here. Well, honey, come on in. It's always different when the preacher's standing there. Well, honey, come on in. And made room for her. A preacher went and got his own seat out of his little office over there and came and brought it for her so she'd have a seat like all the rest of the children. That little girl wasn't nourished well. She ended up getting a disease because of malnutrition. And just within a few months, she died. That family would never come to church, but they called that preacher because that little girl loved that church. And said, Would you come down and conduct her funeral? He went to their house to visit the home and they took her back there to where her room was. She didn't have nothing. Just a little bed, a little mattress looking thing on the floor. She didn't have hardly any toys. She didn't hardly have any clothes. There's a little pocketbook that was over there. The mother picked it up and handed it to the preacher. She unzipped that little pocketbook. It was red. And reached inside it was a little bag. Opened it up. Had a little note in it. It was kind of tattered and torn and crinkled up. But it said, Savings for the church building. She was more interested in the church growing than the church was. They dumped out the money. There was 57 cents. That's the same number in our red hymnal as Amazing Grace. He went up to the pulpit at her funeral and shared how her little 57 cents she wanted to build a building because she was shut out. And she said, I don't want no other kids to be kept out like I've been. And that preacher stood up there and preached that message. It got to the news. It got to the newspaper. They reported that. The man right next door was a wealthy man who came and right next door to the church and came and said, Listen, I've got some acreage here for sale. And he said, I tell you what, the price is 57 cents. It was worth thousands. Now today, millions. 57 cents, it's yours. He didn't even require them to really even give the money. They went over there, and some construction people began to build a building for free. Donations just coming in all across the country. And today, Temple Hospital and Temple Baptist Church up in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, that great university is up there. All those things and all those buildings were built on 57 cents. Little as much when God is in it. Hallelujah. Well, let me go on. Matthew chapter 10. I was over at my dad's church preaching in a revival meeting. And I told that story that I just told you, different, used it in a different message somehow. And there were some people in the church that heard that story that God so gigged their heart. They looked down there in their billfold, down their little wallet, had come up to the pulpit and said, God told me to lay 57 cents on this altar. And went and sat down. Another stood up and said, I brought money in here tonight to give to my grandson when he made A's on his report card. I was supposed to give so much, but my grandson's not here tonight. But God said that money's in my pocket, and I'm supposed to give it to him. And did. And before the night was over, some $11,000 or $12,000 come into the church. And I didn't even preach on money necessarily. Just use that story. $11,000 or $12,000 come into the church. Hey, glory to God, if you give and do what God tells you to do, you may say, preacher, this is crazy. How can I give this? Or how? Hey, you'll just be obedient. You'll find out little as much when God is in it. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 10, verse number 40, down at the end of the chapter, he that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever, glory to God, whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Just a cup of cold water to a little one, that they might be refreshed or encouraged, moving in compassion or in mercy. The Lord said, I'll notice every cup of cold water that you pour and that you give in my name, and you will not lose your reward. You see, little as much in the ministry. I'm going to tell this. Breached one time here in an old building. Hadn't been pastor here long. God stirred it up that morning. I'm telling you what, man, God was a moving in that service. We had a time. I was amazed at some of the things that was going on there that day. Honest, I just shared the Word of God and stood back and seen just people just serving God and trying to be obedient and do what God said to do. Oh, it was something. Praise the Lord. I stand there, and Brother Tommy Singleton, I'll never forget it. He knew I was going to tell it when I said it. I've never had this happen before in my life, and I'm not trying to lift him up above anybody else. But I seen him get up out of the back of the church, about three rows deep he was. Didn't really even hardly know his name then, Brother Tommy. I apologize. Didn't really know who he was. He got up and he started making his way down the center aisle. Tears is running down his eyes. I thought, what's going on here? He come up to the pulpit. He looked at me. He took that water base there. He poured me a cup of cold water. And he reached it to me. And he turned around and went and sat down. I like I lost it. Because God said that He would give you a reward if you'd just take a cup of cold water given to one of these little ones in His name. He'd do great things with it. One night we'd been here late after church. I had to counsel with somebody on a Sunday night. Sometimes it's maybe 9 or 10 o'clock before we leave trying to talk to people. And I love to talk to people. It's wonderful to be around them. Sometimes, you know, we're talking about the ministry and things in the church and things in the Bible. And I was here until about, oh, it was getting late, 9:30, 10 o'clock. And my little boy didn't have no bread for his meal the next day. We needed to go to the Walmart. That night we was completely out of bread. And we come home and Gina said to me, she said, we got to go get bread. Luke's got to have bread for his sandwich tomorrow at lunch. And I was tired and wore out and said, oh man, I don't want to go to Walmart 10 o'clock at night, get a loaf of bread. I guess we'll go. My little boy, I'll be happy to go. And she said, well, we need to go, but we're not going to have to go. I said, what? She said, some of the boys from the church is going to bring us some bread. I said, do what? We went into the house, had no more to walk through, and I seen lights coming up the driveway for some of these young men sitting right here. Coming up the driveway, jumped out of the car, took a loaf of bread and put it up on their arm like this, knocked on the door, opened the door up, and they said, here, preach. Here's your loaf of bread. Blessed the gable into my soul, run all over me. I reached in my wallet trying to pay me. I thought I was going to have a fight because they wouldn't let me. I tried to go to their parents and thank them. I want to say to you parents, you're raising godly young men. You keep praying for them, amen. You keep praying for them. Don't you give up on them, glory to God. But it blessed my soul that some young men in the church would care enough about their preacher that he's being tired that night, that they'd go get him a loaf of bread and bring it to him from the Walmart. I say, glory to God, and God blesses for things like that. You do something for the ministry, you watch what God will do with it. Matthew chapter 7, I'm almost done. I know you're getting tired of me. Matthew chapter 17. Verse number 19, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Speaking about this spirit of this demon that was upon this man. Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith, as grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Little as much in the mustard seed, the smallest of all seeds, grows into the greatest of all the different bushes and trees, goes into the greatest, the smallest grows into the greatest. Isn't that something? If you'd have just a little faith, just a simple, Lord, I believe you. And I mean, really mean it. It'd go a long way. You could say to yonder mountain, be thou removed and be cast out into the sea. I remember that little woman up there in Madison County. She'd been having a revival at church, and she went up on the knoll on the top of the mountain, and there's a cliff up a little higher, but she just stopped right there and got down and started praying. Oh, God, I believe you. Oh, God, I believe you. She said, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd take this mountain and you'd be removed into the sea. And about that time up above her, there was an old wild pig was a-rooting. And he started knocking some pebbles over the edge of the cliff. And they fell down and started hitting around her. And she said, oh, Lord, wait, 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 I was just kidding. Can't you take a joke? Because she thought the mountain was really getting ready to move. God told us if we'd have the faith, just as a mustard seed. Things that happen in your life. How much faith do I need, preacher? Just a little. And he can do much with it. Let me close out right here. Chapter 18, verse number 20. He says, for where two or three are gathered in my name. I've been in some churches like that. Used to preach every Saturday night to 5. When I started pastoring, I preached to 23 on Sunday morning, 7 on Sunday night, 7 on Wednesday night. I remember I'd just be tickled to death to see 10. I'd be, boy, I tell you what, I couldn't wait to get in the pulpit to preach when it looked like we had 25 or 30. Let me say something to you, numbers don't impress me. Oh, they're good, but it's not what it's about. I appreciate you being here. We could have 23. We could have 14. I preached to crowds just like that all day long. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. He said, even in a little crowd of two or three, little as much when he's in the midst. You turn over there to the Old Testament with me. I want to close out here in the book of Haggai. Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Go there to the book of Haggai. I'm done. Bible says in the book of Haggai chapter 1 verse 7. This is it right here. If you don't get anything else, get this morning. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, verse 7. Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and it came to little. What? You looked for much, and it came to little. You're not wanting to hear the preacher preach about little as much. You want me to preach about the much. And that's what you want, the more, the much. That's what interests you. God said, you look for much, and your much came to little. And you know why? Because of sin. Because of neglect. Because of disobedience. He says, when you brought it home, I did blow up on it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is waste, and you run every man into his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, upon the corn, upon the new wine, upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, upon all the labor of their hands. You know what's happening in America? Things are drying up. We're in a miserable state. Do you know why? We look for much. It's come to little because we've left Him out. The Bible says here in verse number 12, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, watch this, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. What'd they do? They obeyed the Lord. First time in a long time. They've repented and they've obeyed the Lord now. And the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord, then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. If I could have anything said about Bethel Baptist Church and service this morning, I'd want to say this. I want to hear the Lord say this. I am with you. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Hey, is He here today or not? I believe He is. Is He worthy today? I believe He is. But there might be somebody here you seem so insignificant. You look around and see such a crowd. You've been thinking about staying around here at Bethel. You've been thinking about joining, but you look around and say, oh, what could I ever do there? What benefit could I ever be? Hey, let me tell you what. Little is much when God is in it. You just give Him your little. You watch what He'll do. God's got a place for you right here if that's where He sends you. He's got a place for you if you'll just believe Him. I'll never forget, there's a lady come to our church where I used to pastor. I preached that night. God told me, He said, I want you to take off your shoes while you're preaching. I'll believe in that. It's fine. Take off your socks. Go barefooted. Oh, Lord. Hope my toenails are cut. Hope my feet don't stink. You know the drill. Hope I ain't got on my holy socks. That'd be embarrassing. I know my wife's sitting there thinking, oh, Lord, this ain't gonna be good. I started preaching barefooted. Running around there, and I don't know why. 10 or 15 minutes later, my feet got cold. I mean, there was about to freeze in there on that cold, cold floor. The Lord said, listen to your feet, son. It's cold in here. Put your shoes back on. Socks first. Yes, sir. I sat down while I was preaching. Had the microphone, just sat down in the front row, just preaching me a big old patch, you know, putting my socks on. My people thought, what's he doing? I understand taking his shoes off. Now he's putting them back on. He lost his mind. God told me to tell him that my toes was jealous of my hands because everybody saw my hands when I was up preaching. But my toes never get any recognition. Nobody ever sees my toes. So they wanted to be seen. So they got out there and then they figured 15 minutes later they were doing what they weren't called to do. It's cold out there. We don't want to be exposed. We want to be back in there where it's warm. And then when I put on my shoes, God said, do you realize, son, your big toe is what brings balance to your body? The hands may get a lot of appreciation and the mind may think a lot, but the toes is what gives you balance. And God had me to say to somebody here, you may think you can't do a whole lot, but you can be a big toe helping to balance the whole thing. You didn't come to be recognized. You didn't come to be seen. You didn't come to do anything. You just came to worship Jesus. And He's here today. When I said it, there was a woman jumped up at the end of the service and she said, preacher, that's me. I just want to be a big toe in the house of God. That's all I want to be. She had just recently gotten saved. She joined right in there in the church, and I'm telling you, she was a blessing. You hear me today? Devil may have you convinced you're a nobody and you don't mean anything, but you look at that old rugged cross and you tell me that He didn't come to die just for you. You may seem so little, but little is much when He's in it. You stand to your feet this morning. I preach just as long as He's told me to preach. Not longer, not shorter. Honest, I'd like to left too. I'm hungry, my stomach's starving to death, but I'm praying for a little manna this morning. I wonder with your head bowed and there's nobody looking. I wonder if there'd be someone, y'all come to instruments and play, if there'd be somebody here say, you know what, preacher? That little is much stuff. How awful little. I don't know how I'll be provided for or supplied. I don't have a whole lot of faith. Preacher, I can't do many things. But I want to go down there to that old-fashioned altar. And I just want to worship Him, whether there be two or three or three or 400. I just want to go down there and worship Him, thank Him. I want to do the little things, He said, if we'd be ruler. If we'd have the authority over those few things, He said He'd make us ruler over many things.
Y'all, before you get started, anybody that knows me knows I never have any change. The reason I don't was one time I was pickpocketed and lost everything I had. Darren started telling that story this morning about that little girl who had 57 cents and it found in Temple University. I felt my pocket. The Lord told me, said, Chris, you feel in your pocket and see what's there. And honest to goodness, y'all, 57 cents in my pocket. And He said, Chris, you take that up there this morning. You put it on a pulpit. Maybe it's not financial. Maybe there's somebody here with a spiritual need. Maybe somebody needs to join the church.
Yeah.
Obedience is better than sacrifice. I don't know what's in your life or what you need, but I've done my part.
Amen. You need to come. Oh, preacher. Oh, He'll feed you. He'll nourish you. You need to come. What do you need to do this morning? Would you come? Folks are moving all around the church. The altar's already full. There's room for you, though. Hey, would you place in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ your little? What little you've got, you owe it all to Him anyway. Would you say, my little family, my little job, my little bank account, my little life, I want to put that in the hands of Jesus. I don't want to be controlling it. I want Him to control it. Folks are still coming. Would you mind Him this morning as He speaks to your heart? If your heart is beating out of your chest, that'd be the Holy Ghost telling you to come. You better mind Him this morning. You'll not hear anything greater than Him say, I'm with you. Oh, you'll feel so much better. You'll get relief and say, I know I did what God told me to do. Listen, you'd go to the bank for the loan. You'd go to the steakhouse for the food. Why don't you go to Jesus for the blessings that He has for you? Would you come? Folks are still moving. I'm asking you to be obedient. Listen, it wasn't easy for me to sing. I had to be obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Would you come? Still moving. Praise the Lord. Would you come? Lord, as we bow in Your presence this morning, Lord, we thank You for all the things that You do in our lives. And God, we're here to present ourselves to You a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is my reasonable service, Lord. And God, I realize that I'm just little. I can't do anything. I measured my hand, Lord. It'll only hold about 2 tablespoons of water before it all spills out. I really can't do anything. But God, I can do this. I can bow before You and give You what little I have. I can give You my time, my praise, my prayers. Lord, as I bow in this place, Lord Jesus, today, Father, I pray You to help us to take that cup of cold water to that one that You need. Help us, Father, in the ministry. Help us, Father, with those mites, those 20 cents or 32 cents or 57 cents, whatever they are. God, help us to be faithful in all of it. Help us to be obedient. Lord, if we'd be faithful in a few things, You'll make us ruler over many things. Lord, I pray, God, You'd hear us when we say, I thank You that You've been amongst us when there's just two or three. Lord, You showed up time and time again. Riding down the road in the car, You was there. All that time in the house when I just started preaching and there's nobody there, Lord, You's there. Oh, You's there. Well, I thank You for that. I pray, God, You'd bless these and all. Lord, You know each need. God, I pray You'd touch them. Move upon them, Lord, I pray. Bless them this day. Bring them safely back tonight, Father, I pray. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.